This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome back to the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Bolker up here on the top row with Tim Mize, and we're ready for the final game of the evening, which will pit the Litchfield Purple Panthers of Coach Drew Logan against the Carlinville Cavaliers of new coach Dave Suits. Looking at the starting lineups, first for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, who come into the game with a 5-6 record, it'll be a 5'10 sophomore, Blaine Stewart, a 5'10 junior, Blake McGill, a 5'11 senior, John Corso, a 6'2 senior, Austin Niehaus, and a 6'3 senior, Anthony Boston. Stewart, McGill, Corso, Niehaus, and Boston starting for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, coming off a 60-43 loss to Calhoun, and they will be taking on the Carlinville Cavaliers of Coach Dave Suits. For the Cavaliers tonight, they come in with a 1-7 record. They'll start a 6-foot senior, Michael Byatts, a 6-foot senior, Jack Kessinger, a 6-foot senior, Briley Roper, a 5'11 senior, Parker Fikes, and a 6'3 junior, Ethan Trim. So it'll be Byatts and Kessinger, Roper, Fikes, and Trim for the Carlinville Cavaliers of Coach Dave Suits. Come in at 1-7. They suffered a 60-46 loss at Hillsboro, and tomorrow they will be taking on Calhoun. But first things first, the Cavaliers decked out in their white uniforms with the blue numerals, red and blue trim, taking on the Litchfield Purple Panthers, decked out in their purple uniforms with the white numerals, black and white trim. As we look down on the action, Litchfield will be going from right to left or to the north end. Carlinville will be going from left to right or to the south end. Ready to jump up here as it'll be Michael Byatts, as he will be jumping against Austin Niehaus. Everything is set. Very nice crowd here this evening for the final game of day number two of the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. The tip is won by the Cavaliers. Briley Roper brings it down and takes it over on the left wing. They'll reverse it, then bring it back to him. Then the alley-oop pass off the backboard was way too high. Coming up with a loose ball is Blaine Stewart. Stewart will give off to Corso, who'll dish it back to Stewart. Stewart down to Corso in the left wing. He's going to dribble to the lane, thought about a jumper from the elbow. Instead, he'll give the ball off to McGill. McGill back to Boston. Boston's shot rattles around and finally rolls down. Anthony Boston, the big 6'3 senior, gets the first 2 points of the game. Litchfield up by two as Roper brings the ball down the floor. He'll kick it over on the right wing to Byatts, and then Byatts will cut through after he gives it to Trim. It'll be a 2-3 defense for the Purple Panthers as Roper will bring it back up top. Over on the wing, he has Kessinger. Over on the other wing, he has Byatts. They'll swing it back over to the wing as it goes to Roper. Back up top to Byatts. Head of the key for three, off the iron, no good. Boston comes away with a rebound, and back the other way go the Purple Panthers. Blaine Stewart doing the honors of handling the ball, getting it down the floor. Now as he tries to throw it to the wing, it goes out of bounds, last touched by the Purple Panthers. They'll pick up the first turnover of the game. With 6:45 to go here in quarter number one, Jack Kessinger will inbound it to Briley Roper. Roper, the 6-foot senior, brings the ball up and hesitates between the circles. Now he'll try to go high to Trim. Trim can't reach that high, and it'll go off him and out of bounds. Turnover number one. One miscue each way. Coach Drew Logan with his hands behind his back, standing very calmly in front of his bench. Coach Suits decides he's going to take a seat. And the people in the first and second row are pleased when Coach Suits sits down, gives them an opportunity to see the game much better. Now Corso with the ball, going to give the ball off to Boston inside. Back out top, it goes to Stewart. Long three comes up short. Boston with a rebound to put back, it won't go. Trim's there to clean the glass. Back come the Cavaliers, as we've played 2 minutes and have but 2 points scored. That goes in the column of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, who set up again in that 2-3 zone defense. Cavaliers will work the ball on a passing game around the corner. Off to Fikes it goes. Now inside it'll go to Kessinger, to Trim, who's going to drive baseline. Trim tries the baseline pass. It goes out of bounds. Turnover number two. An ill-advised pass, as you might say. And with a timeout on the floor at 5:44 here in the first quarter. Litchfield has a 2-0 lead, and we'll take this break and be back after this one message on WSMI. It has been a low-scoring game, to say the least, as following the timeout, Litchfield will inbound and bring the ball the length of the floor. Down to the north end they go. Corso tried to make a fake and drive and shuffle his feet for turnover number two. So each team with two miscues, the Purple Panthers with the only 2 points on the board. Inbounds pass comes into Roper. Roper walks slowly down the floor. Again, a 2-3 zone defense. Double screen for Roper. He tries to go into the lane and picked up his dribble and kept his feet moving. Turnover number three. So in the game, we have 5 turnovers that have been committed, 2 points that have been scored. It's been that kind of a night here in the early going for the Purple Panthers and the Cavaliers. Litchfield with the lead and the ball. Corso over on the right side. He'll drive into the corner, and I thought he may have gotten pushed, but the referees didn't see it that way. He kept right on moving. 3 turnovers apiece. It would be a comedy of errors, but to be a comedy, that would have to be funny. And both coaches will tell you right now, that's not funny on either side. As Kessinger with the ball over on the left wing goes down low to Trim. Back up top to Byatts for 3. Off the front iron, no good. McGill comes away with the rebound. Blake gives it off to Corso. Corso brings it down to the head of the key and dishes off to Stewart. Back to Corso, who'll reset the offense. They'll go 1-4 low. As they have Boston and Niehaus at the low post, as Stewart is going to fire a 3, it won't go, but the Purple Panthers maintain possession. And this was an air ball by Corso, clearing over everything. And Trim comes away with the ball for CHS. Back the other way, Fikes with a shot. It won't go. Fighting for the rebound, it's Boston. Tony Boston has come up with some big rebounds here in the early going already. Corso now tries to get the ball into Boston as Trim is guarding him. Boston goes around, spins that one off the edge of the rim. It rolls over and down. Boston has 4, all 4 of the Purple Panthers' points. As they approach the 4-minute mark of the first quarter, Litchfield with a 4-0 lead, Carlinville with the ball. Byatts with the ball over on the left wing. Looking inside, can't find anybody, so he'll skip pass over to the other side to Roper. Roper catching a little bit of pressure out there. Swings it back to the other side. Now it goes into Kessinger. Baseline, he'll go back up top to Roper. Thought about a 3. Now he'll drive the lane off the glass. No good. Niehaus comes away with a rebound. And the Purple Panthers will bring the ball down the floor, but we had a shoe tying incident, so the referee says, hey, there's nothing going on, let's call a quick timeout, let him tie his shoe. While he does, the Cavaliers go to the bench as they will bring in a Carson Weiser, as he will replace Parker Fikes. So Weiser, a 5'11 sophomore, comes into the ball game for CHS, still looking for their first points. As inside they'll go to Boston, Trim's able to deflect that one and take it away. Nice defense there by Ethan Trim, as he not only got the pilfer but also got the pass out. Now going down the other way, foul going to be called against Litchfield. This will go against Austin Niehaus, as he got him with the body. They said first personal foul of the game. Cavaliers will inbound underneath their own basket. One guy thought the other guy had it. The other guy thought the one guy had it. Neither one had it. It bounced off the stage for turnover number 4. If they had both ridden buses, both coaches would say, let's go back out and get on the bus and get back off and see if we can try it again. But instead, the Purple Panthers will try to get the ball into Boston again, and Trim comes up with yet another steal in there. He's doing an outstanding job of getting inside, wrapping the defender, and then getting a hand on it to deflect the pass and then get the ball. Foul going to be called down at the other end. It's going to go against Niehaus. Don't look now, but Austin has picked up 2 quick ones. It's going to send Michael Byatts to the free throw line to shoot a pair. It's going to send Niehaus to the bench, as he's going to be replaced in the lineup by Cameron Crow. Crow's in, Niehaus is out. He's probably going to sit for a while with those 2 fouls. Byatts missed the first free throw. He'll eye the second one. He'll try the second one. He can't buy it, as once again, there's Boston coming up with a big rebound. Boston is taking care of the rebound category tonight for the Purple Panthers. Out it goes for a three-point attempt. Shots up and no good. Reaching over the back and getting away with it. Now the offensive rebound. It's Cameron Crow with a putback. So Crow was in the right place at the right time. He picks up his first two. And it's 6-0 Litchfield with the lead. Then they'll go to Trim. Baseline jumper on the left side. Catches the iron, wedges between the iron and the backboard and drops. Down the other way, McGill has it in the corner to Boston. Boston goes up. Trim got him on the arm. Boston will go to the free throw line to shoot two. Trim was just a little bit late getting to his defensive assignment. Picks up his first foul. Anthony Boston with 4 points to his credit, looking for number five as he eyes the first, tries the first, and buys the first. He'll get another. He has 5 of the 7 points for Litchfield. The other two coming from Cameron Crow. As Boston takes a few dribbles, eyes it again, tries it again, buys it again. That one kissed front iron, crawled over, kissed the backboard, finally dropped through. It goes down the same as if it was a swish. Trim now the other way, off the glass, high and pretty. Ethan Trim with a nice move there as he faked to his right and then came back to his left, put it off the glass for his first 2 points, first 2 points of the game. Now a steal as turnover number 6 as Roper comes up with a steal. His shot won't go, but the rebound there by Byatts. And Byatts going to go to the free throw line as he was hacked in the act. And this one's going to go against Blake McGill. McGill will pick up his first, third team foul. Michael Byatts to the free throw line. He's 0 for 2 from there tonight. He'll get a couple of more. He'll eye the first, try the first, and buy the first. That one was nothing but net for the 6 foot senior, Michael Byatts. Takes a few dribbles. He'll eye that second one. He'll try that second one. He'll buy that second one. So after missing two, he's made two, and we're at 8-4. The Litchfield Purple Panthers with a 4 point lead and the ball as we hit the 2 minute mark. Corso trying to pass over on the wing. Receiver was zigged when he should have zagged. Turnover number 7 as the ball goes out of bounds in front of the Carlinville bench. Roper will bring it down over on the right side. Kicks it to the left side as it'll go off to Carson Weiser. Weiser back to Roper. They'll go up high to Byatts. Byatts shot off the glass. No good. Fighting for the rebound. Comes down, and it's Kessinger has it. His bounce pass goes off a foot. Trim gets the rebound. He'll go up, and he gets slapped on the arm. So he'll go to the free throw line to shoot two, as this foul is going to go on Anthony Boston. So the Purple Panthers better be careful. Their two big men have three fouls between them. Niehaus with 2, Boston with 1. Free throw for Trim, up and good. Ethan now with 3 points, looking for one more. See if he can draw the Cavaliers to within 2. He'll eye that second one, try that second one. Can't buy it as it rolls off. Corso had the rebound, knocked out of his hands, but going to say last touch by the Purple Panthers. So Carlinville catches a break there with 1:33 to go here in the first quarter. Cavies trail by 3 into Trim. Nobody was guarding him, but somehow he missed the bunny. However, Roper gets the rebound and the putback. Riley with 2 makes it an 8-7 game. So the Cavies have crawled back to within 1, trailing by 1. It is Corso going to fire a long 3 up. It's an air ball. Almost went out of bounds. Nope, it did go out of bounds because the guy trying to recover it, Cameron Crow, had stepped on the line as he left the floor to try to retrieve it. So the Cavies now, with 1:13 to go in the first quarter, will get the ball back with an opportunity to take the lead. Roper brings it down on the dribble. He'll bring it over to the left side right in front of the stage at midcourt. Now they'll go inside to Trim, and foul going to be called. This foul is going to be called on 13, Jack Kessinger, for an illegal screen. And so that will be Jack's first, team's second. So with 55 seconds to go, Litchfield will get the ball back. That will also go down as turnover number 5 on CHS. As now Sturt with a dribble gives off to Corso. Corso at the elbow, picks up his dribble, gives to McGill. McGill goes inside to Boston. Boston back to McGill. McGill to Boston from the elbow. And it gets nothing but net. Anthony Boston with an outstanding first quarter has 8 of the 10 points as Litchfield has opened up a 10-7 lead. Roper brings the ball down, gets across midcourt. He'll settle everything down, gets a screen. One from Trim, the other one from Roper, or from Byatts. Now as he tries to pass the ball inside, he'll throw it away as the Purple Panthers will come away with the ball. With 10 seconds to go, they'll look for the last shot. He'll give it off to Crow. Crow to Corso. Corso's going to stop. No, he won't pop. Instead, he'll give to Crow. Off the iron, no good. They'll fight for the rebound, and Cavies come up with it. The horn sounds, and after one quarter play, it is Litchfield 10, Carlinville 7. Back with the second quarter after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back at the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Tim Mize. We're up here on the top row. Quarter number one of the finale of the day is in the books. Litchfield with a 10-7 lead. 17 points scored and 13 turnovers committed in the first quarter. Back the other way, shots up by Blaine Stewart. It won't go on the rebound. Boston tries to put it back up. He gets hacked in the act, and he'll go to the free throw line as they'll call this one on Carson Weiser. Weiser will pick up his first, and Anthony Boston to the free throw line. 8 points to his credit already. He'll shoot two. First one's up, and the first one's good. He'll look to be the first player on the floor tonight in double figures as he'll take a few dribbles, eye that second one, try that second one, and buy that second one. 10 points for Anthony Boston. Teammates call him Tony. I don't know which is proper for me, but anyway, Mr. Boston with 10 points. It's a 12-7 Litchfield lead. Roper thought about a shot from three-point land over on the left side. Instead, he'll go to Byatts up the head of the key, catches back iron. They'll fight for it. Coming away with a rebound is Roper. His shot hits the iron and kisses it. Goes over the edge and in for Roper, his fourth point of the night, makes it 12-9. Into Boston at the free throw line, now to Corso, out in the corner to Stewart for three. Off the front iron, no good. Comes back to Stewart. Stewart's going to drive between the defenders. An errant shot off the backboard, never touched iron. Back the other way, comes by it. He's going to slice and dice through everybody and draw a foul as John Corso is going to get caught on the reach-in. Corso will pick up his first foul. That is 15 foul, and it'll send Byatts to the free throw line for the third time tonight. First time he missed two, second time he made two. This time he'll eye the first, try the first, and buy the first. So after a bit of a warm-up, he's hit three in a row. Mason Duckles in the lineup will give Ethan Trim a rest as Byatts gets ready for the second free throw. It's true, just like the first one was, so he's hit four in a row, has 4 points, makes it a one-point game. 12-11, Litchfield with the lead and the ball. To Corso, who dribbles over to the right side. Thought about a three, instead he'll give it to McGill. McGill went to throw it back to Corso. It went out across mid-court line. He thought it was deflected. The referee says no, it wasn't. So an over-back call will be made against the Purple Panthers. Their eighth turnover of the game. Eight turnovers, 12 points, and they lead by one as we hit the 6:30 mark of quarter number two. Roper gets it over on the wing to Duckles. Duckles back up to Byatts. Byatts wants to go into the lane. Now to Roper over on the left side. He'll kick it back up top to Weiser. Weiser will go inside. Shots up. Rolls off the rim. As that time it was Jack Hessinger who could not get the shot to drop. Back the other way. Sturt with the ball off to Boston. His shot won't go. McGill gets a long rebound. He'll fire the three and get bottom of the net. Blake McGill drains the tray. That will be his first points of the game, and we'll take a timeout as there's a timeout on the floor. 6:01 to go till halftime. 15-11, Litchfield over Carlinville, back after these messages on WSMI. 6:01 showing on the second quarter clock. 15-11, Litchfield with the lead, thanks in part to Blake McGill's three-point shot from above the head of the key just a moment ago. Timeout's just about over. Carlinville's going to have the ball when we return, as we'll have a stoppage in play now, as evidently there has been some blood showing on the floor. The Purple Panthers opened up a 10-7 lead in the first quarter. Both teams have hit a couple of free throws in the second quarter. Litchfield hit a three. That was Blake McGill. Briley Roper with a two for Carlinville. So Litchfield has outscored Carlinville 5-4 in quarter number two. And they lead here 15-11. Does it matter if you're the superintendent or the principal when it comes time for cleanup crew on the basketball floor?
Love it all.
They're out there doing their duty and making sure that the floor is literally spotless before we return to action. Of course, this helps both teams in that they'll have extended timeouts and have more opportunities to take advantage of giving some instruction. Both teams right now looking to see if they can't get a little bit more offense generated, and both teams looking to see if they can't take better care of the ball. Litchfield, as we said, they have 15 points at this point, but they also have 8 turnovers at this juncture. Carlinville, on the other hand, they have 11 points. And they have 6 turnovers in the early going. The referees are scouring the floor to check and see if there's any other spots where blood might be located. They're getting that taken care of, disinfecting the floor, as they would say. Now the officials satisfied that all is well, and so they will tell both teams, timeout's over, let's get back to action. This will be, well, we got one more spot somebody found. An endless job, a thankless job, but it's something that has to be done. And they're taking care of business. And as they do, we'll take a quick break and come back after this one message on WSMI. Following the extended timeout, Carson Weiser will toss the ball in to Briley Roper, and we'll return to action as we'll go down inside the 6-minute mark of quarter number two. 15-11, Litchfield with the lead, Carlinville with the ball. Roper gives it over to Weiser. Weiser back up to Roper. Roper looking for a backdoor alley-oop cut. Nothing there, so he'll give the ball over on the other side. It's going to be poke-checked away, and the Purple Panthers are going to pilfer the pill. Say all that one real fast, if you will. 7 turnovers on CHS. Stewart with the ball out between the circles. Gives it off to Cameron Crow. Crow now off to Corso. Corso allows the offense to set up. Now he'll drive to the lane. Pixies dribble up, and he'll dish it off in the corner to Crow. Crow then has his pass deflected and thrown away. Turnover number 9 back the other way. Roper has it roll off the rim. Up with a shot. No good, as it was Mason Duckles who picked up the offensive rebound. Couldn't get the shot to drop, but he'll go to the free throw line as this foul is going to be called on number 10. And that will be Cameron Crow who pick up his first. And Mason Duckles to the free throw line. Free throws up, and it's good. He'll get another one. First point of the night for the 5'10 sophomore, Mason Duckles. He'll eye the second one after a dribble and spin the ball. Try the second one, and buy the second one. So with that, it makes it a 2-point ball game, 15-13. Carlinville's going to go to pressure defense. Litchfield gets the ball in to Crow. Now down it comes to Corso. Almost lost his dribble, but he's able to regain. Over on the wing to Crow, who drives, gives it off to Stewart. Stewart down the left side, looking inside to see if he can find Boston. Boston's being closely guarded. Now the pass goes in low, and the Purple Panthers lose the ball, but as Jack Kessinger got hold of the ball, his foot slipped and hit the out-of-bounds line, so it'll go right back over to Litchfield. So Litchfield will inbound under their own basket. They'll get the ball into Crow, into the corner for Sturt for a long three. Over the iron it went. On the ensuing rebound, a foul's going to be called. Not sure which way they were going on this one. I thought he had the foul on the Carlinville player, but we shall see. No, he's going to call the foul on 50. That's going to go against Boston, and that will be his second. Evidently, he was guilty of the push-off. Looked like there was somebody else over there that might have been in on the action as well. But in any event, Boston gets the foul. Kessinger goes to the free throw line. We're in the bonus, as that was the 7th team foul on the Purple Panthers. Kessinger's free throw's up, and it's good. First point of the night for Jack Kessinger. Makes it a 15-14 game. And now Jordan Harris will replace Boston in the lineup for Litchfield as Kessinger gets ready to shoot free throw number two. It's up, and it's good. So the Cavaliers are 6-for-6 from the free throw line here in the second quarter. And now as the Purple Panthers try to get the ball inbounds, Kessinger is going to get called for a reach over. Cavvy's playing very aggressive on defense. In fact, Stewart was pushed out of bounds down here in the corner. That one wasn't called, but it was called on Kessinger, his second. We'll get the ball into Stewart. It's 15-15 with 4:30 to go. Stewart going to dish it off to McGill. McGill's shot's going to be blocked out of bounds by Roper. So Roper did a good job of covering up there on the baseline, swatting that ball out of bounds. Corso will trigger it in. As he'll look inside, nothing there, so he'll give out to Stewart. Stewart will drive to the free throw line, then they'll reverse the ball around to Corso, and Corso is going to travel for turnover number 10 on LHS. Ethan Siglock will replace Kessinger in the Cavalier lineup. As we're knotted at 15 with 4:30 to go here in the second quarter. Briley Roper brings it down on a dribble. He'll have Weiser up at the high post. He'll have Siglock over on the right wing. Back it goes up top to Roper on the right, on the left side this time. Now they'll go back up top, looking to go inside to Duckles. He'll put his head down, lose control of the ball, tries to pick it up, gets it outside to Roper. Roper's shot is deflected. It goes almost out of bounds, but there to save it was Byatts. Byatts has the ball slapped out of his hand. It goes out of bounds. It'll still be Cavalier ball. 4:03 showing on the second quarter clock. Roper to trigger in. He'll get it into Duckles. Duckles swings it back up top to Siglock. Siglock over on the wing to Roper. Roper stops and pops, comes up short. Stewart comes up with a rebound. 3:50 and counting in a 15-15 tie here between the Litchfield Purple Panthers and the Carlinville Cavaliers. Litchfield with the ball. Corso almost loses it. He gets it down in the corner to Stewart. Stewart back up top to Crow. Crow's going to give it off to McGill. McGill tried to go inside. A pass is deflected, but Corso is able to get the control of the ball, and he's going to get fouled as Carson Weiser is going to be called for the reach-in. On Carson, that will be personal foul number two, fifth team foul against the Cavaliers. And so Litchfield will inbound under their own basket with 3:33 showing on the second quarter clock. McGill with a long three from the left side off the iron will not go. Reaching over the top and committing the foul is going to be, I believe that's going to go against Jordan Harris. Yes, it will. Harris is going to pick up his first. Cavies are in the bonus, so we'll walk the length of the floor. And Carson Weiser will shoot to 1-1 looking for his first point of the night. He eyes it, tries it, off the backboard, no good. We're going to have a blocking foul. Or evidently it was a violation. It did not mark up a foul. So we'll get the shot again. This time it's up. This time it will not go. This time there is going to be a foul as it's going to be Byatts on the reach in. For Michael, that will be his first. For the Cavaliers, that will be their sixth. So this will be the last non-shooting foul, unless we have offensive fouls. As Corso is going to inbound, but not until we get a timeout on the floor. Timeout on the floor with 3:27 to go till halftime. We're knotted at 15. Cavaliers and Purple Panthers tied at 15 back after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back at the studio. Purple Panthers come down quickly following the timeout. They miss a three-pointer. Back the other way go the Cavaliers. Byatts out of control, but he goes off the glass, gets the shot to drop as he has four in the quarter, six in the game, and don't look now, but the Cavies have taken a 17-15 lead. Stewart dribbling with the left hand over on the left side as he's being pushed from behind, and I'm not sure whether they've got a foul called or what they've got. The official's going to talk things over and see what they come up with. Coach Suits is trying to help them, let them know whose ball it is, and they're going to say there was no contact. and we're going to give the ball to the Carlinville Cavaliers. So the Cavies pick up the ball as Litchfield picked up the turnover. Well, they will get the turnover as they're going to call it a jump ball, but the arrow favored the Cavaliers, so they will get the ball, and Litchfield will get their 11th turnover of the game. They'll go up top as they give the ball to Siglitz, and he stutter stepped for turnover number 8. Wanted to pass the ball, tried to hold up at the last second, couldn't get that pivot foot to stay set. So that turnover will be the 8th against the Cavaliers. Pass comes in to McGill. McGill gives the ball off to Stewart with 2:40 to go till halftime. Litchfield trailing by 2, getting all sorts of pressure by Siglitz. Now Siglitz is going to get called on a reach-in, and then he looks over at the official and says, "Who, me?" And the referee says, "Yes, you." That will be Ethan's first, 7th team foul. So to the free throw line will go Blaine Stewart. He'll shoot the 1-1. Came up short, crawled over the rim, kissed the glass, dropped back through. And it's good. Draws the Purple Panthers to within 1 as Stewart gets ready to shoot the 2nd. He'll toe that line, take 1 dribble, eye it, try it, and buy it. So the Purple Panthers are 4-for-4 from the free throw line here in the 2nd quarter. They're 6-for-6 from the charity stripe in the game. Byatt's going to force the action, go to the hole, and going to be another foul called against LHS. This one's going to go against Jordan Harris, I believe. Yes, Harris is going to pick up his 2nd. And to the free throw line will go Michael Byatt. He's hit 4 in a row. Missed that one. As he will get another one, driving to the basket, drew the foul. Now, Ethan Trim will re-enter the lineup as Mason Duckles will have a seat. Michael Byatt shoots free throw number 2. This one is true blue, right on through, as he now has 5 points in the quarter, 7 points in the game. 18-17 is the lead for the Cavaliers. McGill picked up his dribble. Now he gives it off to Corso. Corso looking for a screen. It's going to be a player control foul against Jordan Harris. That was one, shall we say, not an intelligent play. As Harris picks up his 3rd foul, it is a player control foul, or I should say team control foul. And so there'll be no free throws, but it'll be turnover number 12 on the Purple Panthers. 17 points, 12 turnovers here in the first half for LHS. And yet they trail by only 1. The shot is deflected. It goes up, and then Jackson is called for, inbound, or Kessinger is going to be called for the travel, so that'll be turnover number 9. Cavies putting on full court pressure for Litchfield, and Coach Drew Logan says, "I need a timeout." 1:58 to go till halftime. Carlinville 18, Litchfield 17. Back after this one message on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back of the studio. I'm Gary Boker up here on the top row alongside Tim Mize as we're watching the Carlinville Cavaliers and the Litchfield Purple Panthers do battle in our nightcap game. Cavaliers coming out with some good pressure defense. McGill gets the ball down the floor, gives it off to Corso for 3. It won't go, fighting for the rebound. Going to be a holding foul called the other way as it's going to go against Litchfield, I do believe. If I were a betting man, I bet it's going to go on Cameron Crow, and that is correct, as Crow picks up his 2nd. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 fouls in the first half on Litchfield. Sends Weiser to the free throw line to shoot 2, as that was double bonus. He'll miss the 1st and get the 2nd. Carson is 0-for-2 from the charity stripe. With 1:48 to go, he's going to try to double that Cavy lead from 1-2 as he eyes the 2nd, tries the 2nd, can't buy the 2nd, but there's Trim with the rebound off the glass and no good. Harris comes away with the rebound this time. Back the other way, it is Corso bringing it down on a quick dribble. out in the corner to McGill. He'll fire a baseline three. Off the iron, no good. Fighting for the rebound. Looks like, yes, it's going to be Roper coming away with it. Roper's going to head to the basket. Trying to slide under him was Blaine Stewart. And Stewart's going to pick up the blocking foul. It'll be his first. A dozen fouls on the Purple Panthers. To the free throw line, Briley Roper. Shooting two. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11. This will be the 12th free throw of the second quarter. And it's good. 12th free throw of the second quarter. Roper will now attempt the 13th one. He has 5 points, looking for six. He'll eye the second, try the second one. Off the back iron it goes, and there's Roper to pick up his offensive rebound. Purple Panthers not doing a very good job of sealing off on the boards. Now Harris does come up with the rebound to Corso, who brings it down on a quick dribble. He'll cross over, go into the lane, lays it up. No good. As that time, no one else touched the ball on the team except John Corso. Now back the other way, it's Ethan Trim leading the way as he got the lead pass, took it straight to the basket for his 5th point, and the Cavaliers have opened up a 4-point lead. Shot is blocked and rejected there by Roper. Now it's Byatt's going the other way. He's going to be fouled going to the basket. It's a foul fest going on here tonight, as this one will go against Blaine Stewart, as he'll pick up two. His second foul. Crow has two, Stewart has two, Niehaus has two, Boston has two, and Harris has three. And Byatt's going to go to the free throw line for his 9th free throw of the night. This one will not go. He will get a 10th. Kessinger will have a seat as Mason Duckles, the 5'10 sophomore, will replace him. Byatt's will get ready to shoot the second free throw. This one is good. 8 points on the night for Michael Byatt's. It's a 5-point lead as Trim's going to get a rest here at the end of the half. 57 seconds to go, 22-17. Litchfield heading the other way as McGill's going to take a little running, floating one-hander. It won't go. Back the other way. Lead pass to Byatt's. He's going to be knocked out of bounds. Last touch by LHS. So with 45 seconds to go, the Cavaliers are going to get the ball back. They lead by 5 and will inbound under their own basket. Carson Weiser will trigger it in, gets it in to Roper. At the head of the key, he'll fire, comes up short. Byatt's comes up for the rebound. The Cavaliers have been dominating the offensive boards. Byatt's with a spin and a putback for his 2nd bucket of the night. He now has 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 points on a game. And the Purple Panthers come up with an air ball ahead to Byatt's once again. Byatt's goes to the basket, off the glass, and good. Don't look now, but in the final minute, the Cavaliers have opened up a 9-point lead. 26-17, they lead the Purple Panthers. Corso wants to set the offense for a final shot. Stewart gets the ball to Harris, to McGill, back to Stewart, off the glass, will not go. Horn sounds. And that will bring the first half to an end. A very successful second quarter for the Cavaliers as they'll head to the locker room with a 26-17 lead over the Litchfield Purple Panthers. We'll take a break. Be back to recap the first half action after these messages on WSMI. The Litchfield Purple Panthers, trailing by 9, will get the ball to start second half action. Corso off to Stewart for 3. It's high off the rim, comes down, and McGill comes away with a long rebound. He'll get it off to Boston. Boston goes back to McGill, off the glass, and good. So Blake McGill picks up his first 2 of the night to go along with 3, gives him 5, makes it a 7-point game. 26-19 is the Cavalier lead. As Roper picked up his dribble, now he'll give the ball off to Fikes. Back to Roper in a corner for 3. Rattles around, won't go down. Byatt's crashes in on the rebound. He gets the rebound, puts it back up, gets fouled as he goes to the hole. And the foul's going to go against Boston. That will be his 3rd foul. Byatt's going to get the bucket to give him 14. And a free throw goes off the rim, will not go. So Byatt's setting then on 14 points. We'll have a foul the other way. White, 41. Trim will pick up his second. So we've played less than 45 seconds, and we've already picked up two fouls here in the second half. As we had 20 fouls called in the first half. Three-point attempt up and short, fighting for the rebound. It's going to be tipped around. Finally, it's going to be Boston and Trim. They'll call a jump ball, and the arrow will favor the Cavaliers. Kessinger to inbound it to Roper. 2-3 zone defense for the Purple Panthers. Inside they'll go to Trim. He'll back Boston into the basket. His shot is partially blocked. Niehaus comes away with a rebound. Corso speeds it up the floor, goes between the legs. Now he'll stop at the free throw line, try to dish it inside to Boston. Boston almost lost it, and then he'll give it back to Niehaus. Niehaus to Corso, and they'll reset the offense. Cavaliers playing man-to-man defense as Corso passes and cuts through. Stewart thought about a three. Instead, he'll dish the ball off to Niehaus, off to Corso. Corso back to Stewart for a three. Nope. For some reason tonight, Blaine Stewart just can't find the reins from three-point land. And now McGill can't find the reins from two-point land as he misses the bunny. But Fike's going to commit the foul on the rebound. That's going to send Boston to the free throw line. So for Fikes, that will be personal foul number one to the free throw line, Anthony Boston. He's 4-for-4 from the charity stripe. Kicks that one off back iron, and he's 4-for-5. Still sitting on 10 points as the Cavaliers still have a 9-point lead. Second free throw's up. It rattles out too. Trim comes away with the rebound. He'll swing it around and give it off to Roper. Cavies will head north as Briley Roper picks up his dribble, gives it off to Fikes. Now to Bias. Bias to Kessinger. He'll skip it across. Now they'll try to go inside to Trim. Going to be kicked by Niehaus. It'll go out of bounds, belonging to the Cavaliers. 6:07 for the third quarter, 28-19. Carlinville with a 9-point lead. Roper to inbound on his own baseline. Looking for Trim. Instead, he'll go to Fikes out top. Now off to Byatt. Byatt's going to slice and dice, go to the hole, and it's good. Michael Byatt went right into the defense and then rose up, got the shot to drop, makes it 30-19. The other way, Stewart's shot will not go. Byatt's fighting for the rebound, and Boston came up with it, and Byatt's had arms wrapped all over him. Kind of looked like an octopus there, but it will be a foul on Michael Byatt. That'll be his second. It'll send Boston back to the free throw line. He missed two there just a moment ago. He'll shoot two more here. And this one rattled around and finally went down. Trim and Fikes will have a seat as it will be Duckles and Weiser into the Carlinville lineup. As Boston's second free throw rattles around and kicks out. So he's 1-for-3 on this basket after going 4-for-4 in the first half from the free throw line. Penetration off to Duckles it goes. Duckles gives back to Roper. Oh, Roper with a nice pass as he fed Kessinger right under the basket. Give Kessinger the points, but give Roper the outstanding pass for the assist. Now Stewart back the other way at the elbow, rises up, gets the shot to drop. That for Blaine Stewart, his first basket of the night. To go along with two free throws, he has 4 points. Kessinger down the lane, drives, can't get the shot to go. Coming up with the rebound was Corso. He throws it off of Stewart's knees, however, and the Cavaliers come away with the rebound. Now on the ensuing shot, going to be a conflict under the basket. They're going to call the foul on Boston, and Coach Logan cannot believe it, as Anthony Boston has just picked up personal foul number 4. And I think Coach Logan has a legitimate gripe there because he felt like his man got pushed from behind, but instead he will have a seat with 4 fouls. Cavies will inbound to Byatt's. Three-pointer from the corner comes up short, fighting for the rebound. It is Weiser who comes up with it, and as he tries to take it back up, Foul going to be called against. I believe this will go against Corso. John will pick up his second. Wiser to the free throw line where he's 0 for 3. Make it 0 for 4 as that one catches front iron and kicks off. He'll get another one. The 5'11 sophomore, Carson Wiser. Take a couple of dribbles, bend those knees. High it, try it, off back iron. Trying to come up with a rebound was Roper. He tipped it out right into the hands of Blaine Stewart. Stewart to Corso. Corso drives, gets a shot to crawl up and over the rim. That for John Corso, his first points of the game. He has two, makes it 32-24. Cavies with an 8-point lead as we're going to have another foul on the Purple Panthers as Roper trying to drive to the basket. This one's going to go against Stewart. That will be his third. Three fouls on Stewart, four team fouls on the Purple Panthers, and we have only played 3.5 minutes here in the third quarter. A little dip foul there, but nothing called. Now the pass is intercepted by Niehaus. Turnover number 10 on CHS. Back the other way, they'll go to McGill. McGill gets the shot to drop, and going to be a foul called on the play. Surprise, surprise. The foul goes against Carson Wiser as McGill will get the bucket. His fourth point of the quarter, seventh point of the game. He'll go to the free throw line to attempt to complete the old-fashioned three-point play. And he does. So give him now 5.25, 8 in the game, makes it a 5-point game. 32-27, Cavies with the lead and the ball. Byatts with a skip pass over in the corner. It goes off to Wiser. Back up top, it comes to Roper. Roper over to Wiser. Wiser trying to go inside. The pass is deflected. They're going to say last touch by the Purple Panthers. Coming into the Litchfield lineup is Chase Hires, as Sturt will have a seat. And the Cavies will inbound on the sideline in front of their own bench. Wiser gets it in to Byatts. Byatts goes crashing into the basket, got his own rebound, and put it back in. Byatts not looking the most picturesque as he heads to the basket. A little bit awkward, a little bit out of control, but boy, is he getting things done. 6 in the quarter, 18 points for Michael Byatts tonight. Corso going the other way. His little runner will not go. Coming up with the rebound is Mason Duckles. Back the other way, there it is for Roper, who'll kick it out to Byatts. Byatts is going to spin, but he got his feet tangled up, and he'll walk with the ball for turnover number 11. But the Cavaliers putting on a little pressure, and they're trying to move the ball with a little bit more aggressiveness. Now the Litchfield's going to have to answer, trailing by 7 with 3:35 to go here in the third quarter. Corso brings it down on the dribble. He gets a screen, and that foul is going to go against Mason Duckles. Nobody let him know a screen was coming up there. He'll have a seat as Ethan Siglock will report into the Cavalier lineup. 3:32 to go, third quarter. In it comes to Niehaus. Niehaus gives it off to McGill. Back on the wing it goes to Hires. Hires gives it off to Corso, who'll set things up. Cavaliers playing some good, tough man-to-man defense as it comes off to Crow. Crow rotates it off to Hires. Now they'll switch over to McGill. McGill stops and pops from 12, rolls around off the rim, will not go. But there's Hires to come up with a rebound. Now Niehaus going to the basket, and he's finding out, just as the Cavaliers did in the first half, if you take it to the basket, you can draw the fouls. This one's going to go against Carson Wiser. That will be his fourth. It'll be a non-shooting foul. It's only the 16th foul against the Cavaliers. Now we have Ethan Trim coming back into the lineup as he will replace Carson Wiser. And we're ready to reset. And the Purple Panthers will inbound, trailing by 7. It comes into Crow, over to Corso. He'll fire a three. It's long and strong once again. Coming away with a rebound is Siglock. He's going the length of the floor. Tried to stop and pop, but instead his feet went out from under him. Turnover number 12. Ran 84 feet and had nothing to show for it when it ended up. So now Now it's going to be Byatts who's going to pick up the foul on the inbounds as he was trying to get into the passing lane. Still, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, as they say. So we'll walk the other way as that'll be the seventh team foul on the Cavaliers. So we have 2:55 to go. We have played 5 minutes and 5 seconds, and the Cavaliers have picked up 17 fouls. To the free throw line goes Chase Hires. His free throw's up, but it's good. His first point of the game, Chase will get another. The 5'8 junior will toe that line, take a couple three dribbles, eye it, try it, and buy it. So Byers picks up a couple of free throws, makes this a 5-point game once again, 34-29. Roper tosses it right into McGill's hands for the turnover. He'll stop at the free throw line and give it right back to Roper. So a turnover each way results in no harm, no foul. Byers to the basket, going to get the shot to drop. And I'll tell you what, that guy is just attacking the iron tonight with excellent results, as he's going to pick up the bucket. His 8th point of the quarter, his 20th point of the game. On the play, Austin Niehaus is going to pick up his 3rd foul. Now Byatts to attempt to complete the old-fashioned 3-point play. He does, as that one caught front iron, rolled over, hit the back iron, and then finally dropped through. 37-29, it's back to an 8-point lead for the Cavaliers, thanks to Byatts' move to the basket. Now to Niehaus with a reverse layup, and it's good. Austin Niehaus, with his first 2 points of the game, makes it 37-31. Now Byatts going to go to the basket, and as he stopped, going to be a reach-in foul called against Niehaus, and that's one of those why-did-you-do-that fouls. And he'll pick up personal foul number 4. So Boston on the bench with 4, Niehaus on the floor. Well, Niehaus is not going to be on the floor very long, as he's going to have a seat with 4. Trim is going to come off the floor as he will be replaced by Damon Sharp for the Cavaliers. They'll get the ball into Siglock. Siglock goes to the hole. It won't go. Corso comes up with a rebound. Even though that shot didn't fall, you got to like the way the Cavaliers are attacking the rim here tonight. Corso's going to try it from the left side. He finds good results too. Corso, who was shut out in the first half, has picked up 4 points here in the third quarter and makes this a 4-point ball game. Now it's going to be Byatts wanting to try to spin, got the guy on his hip, and as he did, he took him to the hole, and a foul will be called against Cameron Crowe. Now the question that's starting to come to mind now, will the Purple Panthers have enough players to finish the game, as everybody is starting to get in foul trouble? Free throw is up and good by Byatts. He's made a living going to the basket and going to the free throw line tonight. That is his 8th made free throw of the night. Give him 9 now, as he has made 9 free throws. Missed 5. He has 11 points in the quarter and 23 points in the game to lead the way for the Cavaliers, and he's going to take a bit of a break here with a minute 52 to go. A well-deserved break, and now Roper, trying to cut the ball carrier off, is going to be called for the foul on Briley. That will be personal foul number 1. With all the fouls being spread around all over the place tonight, kind of hard to believe that Roper picked up his 1st. Cameron Crowe to the free throw line. Free throws up and no good. Cavs come away with the rebound with 100 seconds to go here in the third quarter. They'll bring it down. Siglock trying to get the ball inside, throws it away. Corso, triple team, goes to the basket, misses a shot, gets hit on the top of the head as he gets his rebound, and a putback. And now Coach Logan is saying, hey, you didn't see him get hit on the top of the head? But the basket makes it a 4-point game. Litchfield's going to take a full timeout. Set up here, 1:33 to go, third quarter. Litchfield trailing as Carlinville has a 39-35 lead when we come back on WSMI. To say that Michael Byatts is the man of the hour might be an understatement. He has 23 of Carlinville's 39 points, and he has the ball now as he's entered the ball game with 1:18 to go. Pass is deflected, goes out of bounds. It'll still be Cavalier ball. They lead 39-35. They led 26-17 at halftime. They've seen that lead shrink to 4 as they'll get a long inbounds pass to Siglett. Siglett back over to Roper. Now it goes over on the wing to Duckles. His shot's going to be deflected, blocked out of bounds by Corso. 1:09 to go for the third quarter. 39-35. Cavaliers have the lead. And the ball is Kessinger will inbound under his own basket. Into Siglock it goes. He'll bring it back on a dribble out between the circles. Take it over on the wing to Roper. Roper will dribble between the circles and give it off to Byatts. Byatts off to Kessinger. Kessinger wants to spin and go to the basket. It's closed off, so he'll reverse pass to the opposite side. Now a nice driving layup there by Mason Duckles, who's just simply spun and went to the basket and got the shot to drop, making it 41-35. Carlinville with a six-point lead. Over on the wing, it is Chase Hires who gives to Corso. His three-pointer is way offline. Coming up with a rebound, however, is Jordan Harris. And Harris is going to be hacked in the act, and he'll go to the free throw line to shoot 2. This foul is going to go against 23. 23 will be Briley Roper, who will pick up his second. Free throw's up and good by Jordan Harris, who picks up his first free throw of the game, his first point of the game. He's got another one coming. The 6'3 junior can't get the second one to drop, and there's Byatts to come up with a rebound. Byatts forcing the issue. Down the sideline he goes, and he runs right on through number 22. That's Blake McGill, who couldn't get his foot over there to stop the penetration down the sideline, so that'll send Byatts to the free throw line. His first free throw's up, and good. He's now made 4 in a row and extends that Carlinville lead to 42-36. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 free throws on the night for Byatts. Looking for number 11. He found it. As that shot's good, he'll have a seat with 30 seconds to go. And they will bring in Damon Sharp into the Cavalier lineup. 43-37. Carlinville with a 7-point lead. On the dribble is Chase Hires. Gives off to McGill, to Harris. Harris free throw, or Harris shot from the baseline on the left side. Goes off side iron. Now back the other way. Cavies give it away. No, Kessinger comes up with a loose ball and puts it in off the glass. Good heads up play by Jack Kessinger. Makes a 45-39. Siglock going to commit the foul on the driving layup by Corso as the horn sounds. So Siglock going to pick up his second foul. 10th team foul against the Cavaliers. Should be 2 free throws coming for Corso either way, whether he was fouled in the act of shooting or whether it was a double bonus. 2 free throws for Corso as time has run out here in the third quarter. His first free throw catches back iron and kicks out. It's still a 9-point game. That's what it was at halftime. As Corso gets ready for free throw number 2. He'll eye it. He'll try it. He can't buy it. That's the way the third quarter ends. Carlinville, 45. Litchfield, 36. Back with the fourth quarter after these messages on WSMI. Well, it was a very interesting third quarter, but not a whole lot ventured, not a whole lot gained for the Litchfield Purple Panthers as they tried to cut into that 9-point deficit they had at halftime. They still have that 9-point deficit as we go into the fourth quarter. A shot is missed, and looking for the rebound, for some reason, Byatts had his back to the basket. The Purple Panthers come up with it, yet they miss another one. They'll go the other way as Kessinger's going to get called for an offensive foul as he was out of control heading to the basket that time. For Jack, that will be his third foul. 13 points in that quarter for Byatts to go along with 12 in the first half gives him 25 points here as we head into the fourth quarter. 4 points for Mason Duckles, 6 points for Jack Kessinger, 5 points for Briley Roper, and 5 points for Ethan Trim. Shot is up, and it's good down at the other end, as this time it is the youngster coming up with it. Cameron Crow picking up his fourth point of the game. Back the other way, the Cavaliers can't get the shot to drop. They get the offensive rebound. It won't go again. They'll try a third time. It won't go again. Another offensive rebound. It still won't go. Somebody take the lid off that basket down there, will you? Cavaliers with 5 for 8 from the free throw line in the third quarter. They lead here 45-38 as we open up action here in the fourth quarter. McGill with the ball. Off to Niehaus inside. Niehaus getting pushed. No foul call there. They'll kick it back up top to Stewart. Stewart's going to spin into the lane. Off the glass. No good. Niehaus with a rebound. Niehaus goes up strong. He'll go again strong. And down at this end, same as the other end. Having trouble finding connections. Anybody. Anybody. Just please try to make a shot. 17-21. And now at the other end, there is a good shot being made there. As that was, who else? Michael Byatt, who picks up his 27th point of the night. He's the man who's leading the way for the Cavaliers tonight. Stewart cannot find three-point range over on the left side. Battling for the rebound, goes out of bounds. And it will be Litchfield ball. Boston re-enters the lineup for LHS. Trim for CHS. So the two big boys back in action as Blaine Stewart will inbounds, trailing by 9, 47-35. Cavies with the lead. Purple Panthers with the ball. Comes out to Boston. No. Myatt comes up with a steal. He'll go the other way. And the left-hand layup is up and good for Michael Byatt. He comes up with his 29th point of the night and increases that lead to double digits, 49-38. Carlinville with the lead as Niehaus stops and pops from the elbow on the right side. It won't go. Roper comes up with a rebound. Long pass ahead. Going to be deflected but not stolen, as they're going to say Litchfield touched it last. It'll be Cavalier ball. 5:39 showing on the fourth quarter clock, as now it will be Crow coming out of the lineup and Chase Hires entering the Litchfield lineup, as the Cavies will inbounds underneath. They'll toss it all the way back out to the back court where Roper will get it. Roper will go to the basket and then kick it off to Byatt. Byatt has his shot blocked, but I'll tell you what, he's right there to get his own rebound. Next shot is blocked as well. This time the Purple Panthers come up with it, as Boston did the duty. Now it's off to Stewart. Stewart, who's not been able to get a hot hand all night. He's made one field goal. He'll go to the basket, draw the foul, and he'll go to the free throw line to shoot a pair. Checking to see, did the free throw go? No. 41 on the foul. Trim's going to pick up his third on Ethan Trim, the 6'3 junior. To the free throw line, Blaine Stewart. He's 2 for 2 for the charity stripe tonight. He'll eye it. He'll try it. He can't buy it. He'll get another one. That is the 8th missed free throw. Stewart's second free throw is good, so Blaine Stewart, the 5'10 sophomore, picks up his 5th point of the night. Makes it 49-39, Cavies with a 10-point lead, and the ball with 5 minutes to go. Byatt with the ball over on the right side, trying to get the ball into Trim. Trim's trying to power up through the defense, and he does. There shows the strength of that young man, as he had 3 Purple Panthers all over him. He simply took that one right through the defense and took it to the hole. McGill going to get called for the foul. That'll be his 3rd. Trim to the free throw line to attempt to complete the old-fashioned 3-point play. And he does. So the big guy has 3 in the quarter, 8 in the game, and increases that lead to 52-39. It's a 13-point bulge for the Cavaliers, looking for only their 2nd win of the year. As they go inside to Boston, he gives it up. Turnover number 15. Back the other way, they'll come. Carson Weiser with the ball. He'll drive that baseline. He's shut off there, so he'll kick it back up top. Roper with a leaping catch, and then an outstanding pass to who else? Michael Byatt. The back door was open on the baseline right. He found it, and Roper found him with an outstanding pass. Now Stewart for a long 3. Bottom of the net. Been a long time since we've been able to say that, as that is only the 2nd tray of the night for the Purple Panthers. Byatts comes up with a rebound. His putback will not go. Kessinger tries a shot. His shot won't go. Now finally the Purple Panthers come away with it, but they trail now 54-42. Back the other way, McGill for three. Bottom of the net. His second tray of the day gives him 11 points. Draws it back to single digit as it's 54-45. Carlinville with the lead and the ball. On the dribble is Carson Weiser. He's going to give it up on an errant pass. Turnover number 15 on CHS. 15 turnovers for each team. Now trying to go downside. Oh, going to be a foul call on Roper. And Roper slaps that stage. Be careful, young man. They've already got one guy on the team with a broken hand. Don't need another one. So the official tries to explain to him, hey, let's take it easy. And Coach Suits says, I think we better take a break. 3:37 to go in the fourth quarter. 54-45, Carlinville with the lead. Free throws coming when we come back, WSMI. The Carlinville Cavaliers are 18 for 30. As we go to the free throw line, it will be Blaine Sturt hitting the first free throw, getting the second. This one rattles in as well. And that makes it 54-47. It's a 7-point game with 3:33 showing on that fourth quarter clock. Roper comes down, gets into a double team, lost the ball. The Cavaliers have turnover number 16. Back the other way goes the Purple Panthers. 3-point attempt by Blaine Sturt, as that was a huge three from right in front of the stage over on the left side. Gives Sturt now 12 points here in the fourth quarter, 16 points for the game. Back the other way, they'll try to get the ball to Trim. He's going to give it off to Kessinger. Kessinger's going to take one power dribble to the hole on the left side, give Trim the assist, give Kessinger the points. Jack has 8 points, and it's back to a 6-point game. 3-point shot is up and good by Blaine Sturt. Where has he been all game? The entire first half, he didn't hit one field goal, and now all of a sudden he's three threes in a row. The other way, the Cavaliers miss a shot, playing right into the hands of the Purple Panthers. Sturt's got the hot hand. He'll try it again, and he'll get bottom of the net. Blaine Sturt's on fire, and all of a sudden, it's 56-56. We're all knotted up. Kessinger with the ball brings it up top to Roper. Roper's going to try to drive. Instead, he'll give it off to Byatts. Byatts has been the man for the Cavaliers tonight. He'll take it out on the dribble, give it to Kessinger as we head to the 2:15 mark. Now it is Roper. Roper swings it back up top. Now to Trim. Trim goes spin to the basket. His shot comes up short. And the Purple Panthers, believe it or not, they're bringing the ball down the floor with an opportunity to take the lead. And now the pass into Boston is deflected by Trim, taken away. Turnover number 16 on LHS. Trim's going to shoot the ball inside. His pass is going to be deflected and stolen by McGill. 1:45 and counting. We're knotted at 56. Just a moment ago, I thought we were headed for a blowout. Now the Cavaliers are going to pick up the foul, as it will be Carson Weiser. And if that's on him, Weiser's going to pick up his fifth. Weiser's going to have a seat with those five fouls. He'll foul out at the 1:40 mark. No points to his credit tonight, as he was 0-for-5 from the free throw line. Corso will now step to the free throw line. John Corso, who is 0-for-2 from the charity stripe, will shoot a pair to see if he can give the Purple Panthers the lead for the first time in a long time. The lefty eyes it, tries it, and buys it. 57-56, Litchfield has come back and taken a 1-point lead. Niehaus returns to the lineup with those four fouls. So Niehaus sitting there with four. Boston sitting there with four as well. Corso getting ready for his second free throw. He'll eye it. He'll try it. He can't buy it, as that one rattled around and came out. Coming up with the rebound was Mason Duckles. It's a 1-point game. 90 seconds to go in regulation. Duckles going to give it off to Roper. Roper to Trim. Trim's going to spin to the basket. Finger rolls up, and it's good. Ethan Trim with his fifth point of the quarter, his 10th point of the game, gives the lead back to Carlinville, 58-57. Sturt going to stop, pop. No, he'll give it off to Niehaus, who goes off the glass. His shot will not go. Cavaliers come away with the ball. 1:10 and counting, as they'll slow it down. Roper will bring it across midcourt. He'll now take it on the dribble to the corner. to Kessinger. He doesn't want that shot. He'll give it back up top to Roper. Inside the final minute we go. Roper on the dribble. Kicks it over on the wing to Duckles. Duckles facing some pressure out there by Stewart. Gives it off to Kessinger. Kessinger now brings it back up. Gives it off to Duckles. To Byatts in the corner. Byatts looks into Trim. Instead, he'll swing it back over to Roper. Roper's in the lane. Almost traveled, but he gets rid of the ball. Gets it back to Kessinger. Down to 35 seconds we go. Cavaliers marking that time off, trying to get to the end of the game with that one-point lead. They'll go to Roper. Now back to Kessinger. Kessinger to Trim. Timeout called by Coach Suits. 28.7 seconds to go. 58-57, Carlinville with the ball and the lead as we have a timeout on the floor. We'll take a timeout as well. You're listening to WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker up here on the top row. Tim Mize alongside what has turned into a very exciting fourth quarter as it was a nine-point lead for the Carlinville Cavaliers. Litchfield came all the way back and took a lead, but now the Cavaliers have retaking the lead, 58-57, and they will have the ball following the timeout. The inbounds pass will come in to Roper all the way back in the backcourt. He's being guarded by Stewart. Goes right around him, and he'll try to dribble. And now Corso comes up with a steal. It's a loose ball, however, and Byatts is able to come away with it. 15 seconds to go, and the Purple Panthers are trying to foul, and they would not call it. Finally, it's called, and they fouled the wrong guy because it's going to be Michael Byatts to the free throw line to shoot the 1-1. Now Byatts on the night. He is 11 for 15 from the free throw line. So he's the guy that they want on the free throw line as Stewart will pick up his fourth. Free throws up, and it's good. Byatts now with 7 points in the quarter, 32 points on the game. This a big free throw to make it a three-point game. It's up. Rolls around, won't go down. Boston comes away with the rebound, gives it off to Niehaus. We go down to the final 10 seconds. It's Corso with the ball, gets the ball off to Stewart. He'll fire a long three. Off the iron, it won't go. Coming up at the rebound, they'll get it to Corso. He'll pop for three, this for the game. Off the iron, it won't go. And the Cavaliers of Carlinville prevail tonight as they come back and win this one 59-57 over the Litchfield Purple Panthers. The Panthers had a couple of good looks, but the shots just would not drop in the end. And so the Cavaliers survive and pick up their second win of the season. Final score, Carlinville 59, Litchfield 57. Back to recap after these messages on WSMI. If you've ever seen professional bicycle racing, they start very slowly and just kind of grind along and grind along. And then in the bicycle race, as we get close to the finish line, it's an all-out sprint to the finish line. And that was the case here tonight as Carlinville and Litchfield seemed like they were grinding it out and grinding it out. And then came the fourth quarter, and you talk about all sorts of excitement as the Carlinville Cavaliers were trailing 10-7 after one quarter. They had a 19-7 advantage in quarter number two to take a 26-17 lead into the locker room at halftime. Both teams scored 19 points in the third quarter, so the Cavies took a 45-36 lead into quarter number four. That is when the Litchfield Purple Panthers found the range from three-point land. Blaine Stewart with four threes, Blake McGill with a three. They stormed back with 21 points, actually took the lead, but then the Cavies came back with a final basket and a free throw to win this one 59-57 in what I think you could probably safely say was the most exciting game that we have had thus far in the tournament. For the Litchfield Purple Panthers, with the loss, their season record drops to 5-7 as they have had two losses here in the holiday tournament, losing yesterday to Calhoun 60-43. And losing this heartbreaker tonight, 59-57. They were led in scoring by Blaine Stewart. Stewart did not have a field goal in the first half. He had only 4 points going into the third quarter, but he erupted for 15 points in the third quarter to lead the way for the Purple Panthers. The 5'10 sophomore Blaine Stewart, 19 points. Then it was 11 points for Blake McGill, two threes, two twos, and a free throw. 11 points for McGill. Anthony Boston, who was strapped with foul trouble most the entire game, finished with 11 points, but he did not have a field goal after the first quarter, but Boston finishes with 11. Then it was 7 points for John Corso, 2 points for Chase Hires, 2 points for Austin Niehaus, and 1 point for Jordan Harris. As we said, quarters of 10, 7, 19, and 21. The Litchfield Purple Panthers were 15 of 24 from the free throw line. They committed 16 turnovers, and they see their overall season record drop to 5 and 7. Next up for Litchfield, they will be taking on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers tomorrow here at the tournament. For the Carlinville Cavaliers, victorious for only the second time this season, they certainly played like winners tonight as they saw their overall season record improve to 2-7. They were led by Michael Byatts, Mr. Do-It-All, Mr. Clutch, Mr. You want some points? I'll get you some points. He started slowly with only 2 free throws in the first quarter. Then he chipped in with 10 points in the second quarter, had 12 at halftime, came up with 13 points in the third quarter, and then chipped in 7 more, including a huge free throw there in the fourth quarter, as he finishes the night with a game-high 32 points. Michael Byatts, the 6-foot senior, hats off to him. He led the way for the Cavaliers tonight with 32 points.
Point a minute.
Amen. And also in double figures, 6'3 junior Ethan Trim had 10 points, 5 of those coming in the fourth quarter. Then it was 8 points for Jack Kessinger, who played an outstanding game not only by scoring but getting some key rebounds and helping take care of the ball. Briley Roper, the score sheet is going to say that he had only 5 points, but he did such a good job of distributing the ball, keeping it moving, and as far as Byatts getting those points, a lot of those points came from assists by Briley Roper, who finished with 5 points. Then it was 4 points off the bench for the 5'10 sophomore, Mason Duckles, and that's the scoring for the Carlinville Cavaliers. As we said, they see their overall season record improve to 2-7. 7 points in the first quarter, then they caught fire. 19 in the second, 19 in the third, 14 in the fourth. They finished 19 of 32 from the free throw line, and they win this one in a cliffhanger, 59-57. And Tim Mize, this is the kind of play we've come to expect from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament.
No doubt about it. And they still got the score up on the board here. It might be like Illinois beating Wisconsin in football. That might be up there when we get here tomorrow. Now, had the 3 ball from John Corso gone down and it was 60-59, that score would have been erased by now.
Well, and that's the thing about it. These two teams played tooth and nail. And I'm not going to try to tell everybody it was a perfectly played basketball game. It was a very rugged game. Both teams coming up with a lot of fouls, a lot of aggressiveness. I thought one key was for Carlinville was that they kept forcing the ball to the basket. They kept penetrating the lane. They made the Purple Panthers foul, and, of course, when they did, that meant the big boys had to sit down. And I thought that the Cavaliers were relentless in their attack on the basket, and that was one reason why they came away with the win.
They kind of had their football mentality tonight. You know, that aggressive, we're coming right downhill at you, and you're right. They really – pushed Litchfield back early, got him in foul trouble, and took advantage and then held on. They had a big lead in the second half, but give them credit for hanging on.
Well, it looked like at one point in the fourth quarter with about 5 or 6 minutes to go, it was going to be a blowout.
Yep.
It was all over. Litchfield was going to pack it up. But the one guy that they had, well, they have a couple, but one of the guys that Litchfield had who could bring him back into the game did just that. Blaine Stewart, who had trouble, he just couldn't buy a basket, had only 1 field goal and 2 free throws through 3 quarters. But to show you what kind of a money man is, you talk about the fourth quarter being the money quarter, he came on in that fourth quarter and picked up 15 of his 19 points and almost single-handedly brought the Purple Panthers back. It's going to be a tough one to swallow as far as a loss, but I think a lot of teams, you know, they come into these situations and coaches say our problem is we don't know how to win. Well, I don't think you can say that about the Purple Panthers tonight. They knew how to win. What happened was a couple of very good opportunities on the last possession simply didn't fall, and that's the difference between victory and defeat tonight.
It's You know, they talk about the NBA being a make or miss league. That's basketball in general.
Yeah.
You know, if you make the shots, you're going to be hard to beat. If you're not making shots, you can defend your tails off. But the ball's not going in, it's not going to end well.
And the head coach taking care of towels and shirts and whatever.
Multitaskers here, Gary.
And that's the victorious coach.
Right. So we have the principal mopping up blood. You got the basketball coach
and
carrying
towels. And the superintendent as well.
Who knows where Darren's at? Who knows what he's doing?
But I tell you what, it was a very fitting way to end this second day of the tournament. And I think half the people who left here are going to be disappointed with the loss. But as they go home and they think about the basketball they witnessed here tonight, they realize that at all times tonight, there were 10 players on the floor who were given it all they had. And that's all you can ask with high school basketball. And this, to me, is what makes high school basketball so entertaining and so special.
It's what it's all about. Kids come out here playing hard, having fun, and competing. And we certainly had a full day of that. We've had two full days of that here at the 54th Annual Carlinville Holiday Tournament. And with that, we're halfway done. We're halfway home, Gary.
And we know tomorrow we've got a couple of matchups. I'm looking forward already to my ball game in which I'll have Gillespie and Staunton. And when those guys come in, they bring their lunch pails with them. I mean, it's going to be a hard-fought game. But if you could, even though we know we've got a lot to look forward to, before we leave tonight, could you take us through what all was the action that we saw today? Because, man, there was a lot of it.
Well, on the girls' side, Carlinville beat Nokomis 49-34. Gillespie beat South County 50-32. Litchfield over Staunton 49-42. And Greenfield Northwestern beat Bunker Hill 59-30. So that sets up two semifinals tomorrow at high noon, the first game of the day, right here in the Big House. Gillespie takes on Greenfield Northwestern. Then at 4:30, Carlinville will face Litchfield. The winners will square off in the championship game Monday night at 6 o'clock, a game we will have live on FM 106. On the boys' side of things on day two, Gillespie beat Bunker Hill 62-57, Calhoun over Hillsborough 53-25, Staunton hammered Wood River 58-29, and in the game you just heard, Carlinville survived Litchfield 59-57. So broadcast features tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. It will be Carlinville against Calhoun, and Gary, with the win tonight for Carlinville, that is a championship semifinal. The winner will be into the championship game. If Carlinville gets the win, they get in with the head-to-head win over Calhoun, and obviously if Calhoun wins, they are undefeated in pool play, and they will move along. And then the second game tomorrow night at 7:30, you heard Gary allude to it, Staunton Gillespie should be a heck of a ball game and a whole lot of fun. The winner will play for the championship Monday night at 7:30. We'll carry that game live on FM 106 as well and stream it all at WSMIRadio.com. We want to thank all the great folks here at Carlinville High School. Man, they know how to run a tournament, whether it be holiday or postseason or anything else. They just do a great job of shuttling these folks and teams in and out throughout these 4 days of the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. So we thank Darren Deneve. We thank Pat Drew. We thank all the folks here at Carlinville for their hospitality. Every time we come into town, they treat us so good, so we thank them for that. Of course, thanks to our basketball sponsors. Without them, none of these broadcasts are possible. Please go out, patronize the businesses you heard on the broadcast. Without them, we don't bring you any high school sports on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Thanks to Jennifer Graham. She produced tonight's action here on WSMI FM 106. 2 days down, two to go. We'll have the scores tomorrow morning, 7:30. Sports Saturday for you, 9:02 tomorrow on FM 106. And then our live coverage here from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament begins at 6 o'clock with boys semifinals, Carlinville, Calhoun, Staunton, Gillespie live tomorrow night here on FM 106. For Gary Booker, I am Tim Mize. We say good night from Carlinville.